Benny, how are you?
Well, you know, I'm borderline and non-fabulous.
Well, you know what? I feel the same. We just had a massive night in Dunedin, your home city, just about 6 hours ago. We had a massive, massive night with protesters and people with large groups of people with hooters and megaphones and trying to stop our meetings. But the room that we hired was packed. And we got the message out, 3 hours, fantastic, on the Treaty of Waitangi, what's fraudulent about it, what the government is doing that's fraudulent in New Zealand, and how elite Maori are trying to take over the country.
All right. So imagine we're talking to an American audience, and they don't know any of this kind of thing. So story goes back in the day that the British came in and they tried to take over the country, as the British do, and Americans can really understand that. And basically what happened was they couldn't really necessarily conquer them, so they created some kind of treaty. And ever since then, just like the treaties with the Native Americans and things, there's been some kind of an elite that is brought up inside that particular area who siphon off all of the things that the treaty gives their people and leaves their people themselves out in the cold. And that's basically what we're going on here in New Zealand, but this time they're going for officialdom. They want to exert full and legitimate control over the country, and this sets a very dangerous precedent worldwide, because it means that any UN globalist group can come in, infiltrate, take over and bribe any particular elite group and get them to implement their agenda rather than something that benefits their own people.
Well, correct. So maybe we need to go back to 1840, when Britain was the dominant power in the world, pretty much like America now, although America's being competed by China. But anyway, so we're talking about 1840. New Zealand was just a couple of islands in the South Pacific. Britain was colonizing all over the world in 1840. A new queen had come to the throne in Britain. Britain was the superpower of the world, biggest navy, just won the Napoleonic Wars. It was crushing everything in its sight. However, a new queen had come to the throne in 1838, Queen Victoria, and she'd been Christianized, and she said, we're going to not go in like a military power and take over countries. We're going to actually work with the Maori people. That's what they're called in New Zealand. The native people in New Zealand are called Maori. And they said, the Queen said, we'll work with Maori. We'll let them have their land. By the way, in international law at that time, countries could go in and simply wipe out all the native people like pieces on a chessboard and put a flag up, say this is our new colony. But the Queen said, no, we're not going to do that. We're going to have the free, intelligent consent of the natives, and we're going to let them have their land, and we're going to buy land from them. And so the country went along very well, been going along very well in New Zealand for many, many years. And then in 1975, a group of Maori decided that they would have a crack at taking over New Zealand, a coup. And this has been building for 40 years, and now it's really taken off. And so you have what we call elite Maori, a very small number of Maori, probably 1,000 Maori. New Zealand's population is 5 million, and only 14% of the country is Maori. So we're not talking about a dominant group like, you know, the black Africans in South Africa were dominant. No, it's not that like that. In New Zealand, the native New Zealand people are only 14% of the population, so they're quite small. But within that 14%, there's a group called elite Maori, and they are having a crack at taking over the country. And so I'm going around the country speaking about this. I've written a book, and we've sold 350,000 copies of that book in 14 weeks. Which is tells you the level of support there is against this elite Maori takeover. It's a coup to take over New Zealand. So our country is in the middle of a coup, and it's being done by stealth. So we have a serious political issue brewing in New Zealand, and some people are even saying civil war is coming, because the other 86% are very against this. And unfortunately, the small group inside Māoridom, the elite Māori, they are being funded by the government. They got into the government. They infiltrated the government. They infiltrated the Labour Party. And there's a very strong Marxist, socialist group in there. And that's what they're doing. They're taking over the country, having a crack at it.
I think what is the measures of success on this one? And in fact, have you seen these pictures around of some person with tattoos all over their face or whatever, saying proud to be Māori out there?
Oh, look, there are...
I'm just going to try and show this on screen for people there. There it is. This is a billboards, big banners and things like that. I've seen them plastered around the city. Now, if I was to go up there and have a big one of me, you know, with a big smile on my face that says, proud to be white, I would be strung up by my Busker Browns. All right, now, this is kind of like, people don't understand the definition of racism, is that it goes two ways. Number one, racism is denigrating somebody else because of their race. That's number one. Number two is being proud of somebody or giving them big ups because of just their race. Those are both racist principles, okay? And these people can't seem to see the flip side that they are embodying.
Correct. So you're allowed to be a racist if you're Māori, but you're not allowed to be a racist if you're European. So if you're a Māori, you can say anything you like to denigrate Europeans. You can say anything you like to... that's race-based about your own race, but you're not. Europeans aren't allowed to say that about themselves. You're 100% correct. So a lot of things are passing as okay if it's spoken by a Māori, but not okay if it's spoken by a European. For example, we've got the Māori Party in New Zealand. Now, imagine if we had the European Party. We have the European Party.
Don't say it. We'll be getting accused of being white supremacist on this show. Well, of course we are going to be. We're going to be accused of being white supremacist and racist and Nazi and transphobic, homophobic, Islamophobic and terrorists and thought criminals as well. You know, just whatever they can to shut us down because we're asking legitimate questions because we are trying to have what they call in ancient times a discussion.
Yeah, we are. We're trying to have a debate about this and bring it into the open. But we're being cancelled everywhere we go to bring this subject up. And that's because the media in New Zealand has been bought out by the government. They're actually in the media. Most of the media is in a contractual arrangement with the government to only pump out the government's narrative about what they're trying to do. So the government narrative is all very pro-Maori. It's Maori are wonderful, colonization was terrible, and great injustices were done to Maori in history, and these need to be put right. We need to resurrect Maori language in every area of life, and so all the road signs in New Zealand are being turned into Maori road signs, and a lot of the news read on TV is now got Maori words all the way through it, and increasingly more and more Maori words. And so there's a sense in which a foreign power has moved in here and is taking over. And people are starting to become very noticeable amongst the population, the non-Maori population, and a lot of Maori. Last night we had a Maori inside our meeting. And she got up at the end. I've actually got video of her saying, I came here and I learnt a lot about the Treaty of Waitangi, and I recommend all Maori should come to this seminar. Because Maori are being kept in the dark about the treaty. So these elite Maori can take over. They don't want, elite Maori don't want Maori or anybody in New Zealand really knowing the truth about the Treaty of Waitangi. Because they're pumping out a false narrative, and so they're trying to shut me down. I'm telling the truth about that. The Treaty of Waitangi. That's the treaty that was signed by Maori and the British when Britain was New Zealand was colonized in 1840. And there is a Maori version of the treaty. It's the one that I'm plugging. But the government has rogue versions of that treaty, and they're pumping those so that they're getting support, they're saying, because these rogue versions support what they're doing. And they're really taking over New Zealand, but not saying those words, but they are. That's what's happening.
And, of course, these elite Māori are just being used as proxies, as all communists are. Because what happens after the communists take over? What happens? All the people who helped them take over, they get their throats cut, okay? Because they're the ones who know how to take over, and they're now a threat to the established order, okay? So these people, even if they are successful, will get their just desserts, and it won't be, you know, their enemies doing it. It will be their friends.
Well, there is a strong vein of that who's pushing the elite Māori, who's behind them, and people are talking about the WEF and Charles Schwab and all, you know, that whole basket of theory about who is pushing elite Māori, who's funding elite Māori, why are they doing this? And so I'm yet to make a very, very strong, positive, absolutely bulletproof connection between the WEF and elite Māori to know that that's what's happening. So,
but you can draw that connection between the WEF and the government, and the government is pushing them, you know. So it's just a filter-down effect. I'm sorry to interrupt. Go ahead.
Yeah, I'm yet to see. I mean, Jacinda Ardern, our Prime Minister, before she resigned, was seen coming out of the WEF headquarters with Charles Schwab. And so there's obviously some sort of connection there. But in terms of a formal connection, I've seen no proof of that. All I know is people have asked me, what do you think's really happening here? And I just think there's a group of Māori who are having a go at taking over New Zealand. And who are they funding? Who's funding them? And who is pushing them? That connection is not absolutely proven beyond doubt. It's a theory, and it definitely is believable, but no definite proof, nothing in writing, no documents have surfaced. But a lot of people, many, many people, believe that behind this is the WEF and a communist a takeover plot to take countries around the world.
Okay, so how could we solidify that? What are the objectives of this co-governance, and how do they align with the United Nations Agenda 21, which is all WEF, UN, blah, 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 and it's everywhere. Every time you go over a speed bump in Auckland, I think Agenda 21, 15-minute cities, and this kind of thing is just ubiquitous now. So what do these co-governors actually want? What is it they say that they want?
Well, like you say, if what you say is true, that behind elite Māori is the WEF and the United Nations and so on, and there is a move to make, this is basically communism at work, Marxism and communism, and Māori are just pawns in this game, then I guess what's going to happen is, like you say, Māori will be eliminated. If this is true, I'm not saying it is, but if it's true, then Māori will be eliminated, and communism will be reinstalled and installed in New Zealand.
More or less. I mean,
is that how you see it?
I under any circumstance where you currently look at the policies that are currently being implemented via local or a national government, they all ring socialist to me. And all the funding sources and things of that nature sort of become irrelevant to me after a certain point, because you can see that the same ideology infects them all. And I think just a small look into, say, for example, the previous prime ministers and members of parliament who have been members of groups like the Club de Madrid, which is for former prime ministers only, which wants to eliminate national sovereignty and promote world government. And a good portion, I would say most, but it's probably not most, of our current members of parliament are members of I believe it's called, the name escapes me, Parliamentarians for Global Action, which, like the Club de Madrid, has the stated goal of erasing national sovereignty and having a world communist government. So it is elementary to see the connections here, because they are so clear and obvious to me, but that's only because of, 15 years of activism and talking with the top activists in this country before they've died, you know, before this stuff becomes very obvious to me, because I've been endowed with the wisdom of my elders.
Well, I was on a trip from one island to the other, North Island to South Island. New Zealand's got two islands, and I was on a ferry between the two of them, and I got talking to a lawyer as I was traveling on this ferry. And she said, you know, it's very unfair for the wealthy to have all the wealth, and I think we need to be redistributing it. And I thought, where's she getting these ideas from? Because that's a very Marxist communist idea. And she was saying that we need to redistribute wealth from the rich to the poor, so that there's equality of outcomes. And I just disagreed with her completely. I said, in a capitalist society, you have a natural, people who work hard, people who save, people who are frugal, people who are diligent, self-disciplined, and so on, they will get ahead. Why should we reward people who are lazy with wealth?
And the whole idea behind that is so that all of those horrible people in power look good by comparison to all the lazy people that feed off the government. And ladies and gentlemen, we'll be right back after the break with my very special guest, Julian Batchelor. You listen to The Vinnie Eastwood Show on republicbroadcasting.org.
Here's some interesting...
Avoid income.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the show that's all about keeping your Luftwaffe aloft. It's the Vinnie Eastwood Show.
Vinnie, you're very funny.
Well, thank you. I remember one time back in the day, Jack Blood, who's a host on American Freedom Radio, he said, "I got my host Vinnie Eastwood coming on. He's got a funny accent." And I was like, you know, I always thought that people thought I was funny because of my charm and my wit, but now I find out it's a speech impediment.
it's your Kiwi accent. People love it.
Yeah, it's
When I last time I went to America, people started to crowd around just to hear, like I was a freak show.
Yeah,
just to hear your accent.
It's the audio equivalent of pouring liquid chocolate onto marshmallows. Now, the thing about being from New Zealand is we are a test bed nation for a lot of countries around the world. So if you see it here first, it'll be coming to you, or if it's already where you are, it'll be coming here. That's what I love about this world. It's sort of like a multiphasic experiment wheel. So everybody gets a little bit of the experiment, and whatever experiment happens to be successful, everybody gets it, you know. And what I'm now concerned about is the Chinese Communist Party infiltrating New Zealand. A lot of people don't know about Jamie Lee Ross, who's a former National Party whip that the Republicans of New Zealand, for lack of a better term. And he released this recording where he and the former head of the National Party, Simon Bridges, were discussing selling one of their members of parliament's seats for $100,000 to a Chinese investor so that they could get one of their people in there. Now, that recording went public, and I've listened to it, and that is what is going on behind the scenes, ladies and gentlemen. There is hardcore communist infiltration of this country. You want to know why a cup of coffee costs you like $6 or $8 in Auckland? It's because They send in their people. They buy out the central business districts, buy all the businesses. Don't change the name of the business and just sit there and run them. Make their kids study really, really hard, then get them to go to university and study really, really hard. And then when they graduate, encourage their kids to get government jobs. And then before you know it, the entire government has been infiltrated by people who just grew up here and don't even know that they're agents until one day they have to make a decision. And they get a call that says that their family back home in China are on the phone with a gun to their head, and that the decision that they have to make is this one or else. This is how they've been doing it. And they've done it to Canada as well. I believe in 1998, I believe it was, the Royal Canadian Mounted Police conducted an investigation onto communist Chinese infiltration and organised crime into Canada. And they found out that they owned 80% of downtown Vancouver. And they had a presence in 100% of its ports. Now, who set up communist China? It wasn't the Chinese. They didn't have the money, they didn't have the resources, they didn't have the wherewithal to create the intelligence apparatus that they've got now. The West gave it to them, specifically David Rockefeller and a number of other banking elites who saw opportunity in China after the communist takeover, which they helped finance as well. So this whole world is a stage. And we're all going into different stages of communism, I think, at this point in time. It's just a question about whether or not people recognize that there's a threat there before the infiltration is so locked in that you can't get rid of it, because it's an ideological infiltration. They brainwash three generations of children. And by that point, the children of your children of your children grew up knowing nothing but communism. And now you know why all the kids are so depressed and committing suicide and are so lazy and things of that nature. Because after three generations of communist freaking indoctrination in our school systems and universities and in society and through our media, they have almost no other option but to be slave-like cattle for their communist farmers. This is the reality that I'm dealing with at this particular point. And I don't know if you're kind of concerned about this as well.
Well, all I know is that New Zealand is undergoing a massive, massive shift at the moment like you've never seen before. And who's pushing who, we don't know. And who's funding who, we don't know for sure, for definite. But that there is an unprecedented shift of power away from the 86% majority of New Zealanders towards this a little group of elite Maori. And I know that I just watched a video on Kerry Allen, who was reputed to be the Deputy Prime Minister when they had a reshuffle of the cabinet here. Now, she's been away to Cuba for training. She is well and truly entrenched in the Communist Party, and she has a huge influence in the cabinet of the Labour Party, which is the party which is ruling New Zealand at the moment in government. So I've just saw that video and I felt pretty bad about that, because it was factual. They had photos of her in Cuba, they had photos of her receiving training.
Oh, sorry, we'll have to pick that up just after the break, ladies and gentlemen. My very special guest is Julian Batchelor. We'll be right back. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. My very special guest, Julian Batchelor, is on the line. And Julian, you were talking about something just before we got cut off from break there. I'd like you to finish that.
Well, I was just saying that I saw a video of somebody called Kerry Allen. Now, Kerry Allen is a number three or four in the Labour Party in New Zealand, and the Labour Party is in government. So we have kind of like two parties here. We have National and Labour, pretty much like the Republicans and the Democrats. And so we have a Labour Party in Parliament, and the number three or four person in the Labour Party is somebody called Kerry Allen. She's a woman. And she a video was made of her showing her connections with the Communist Party and her trips to Cuba and being trained in Cuba, and her connections with Xi Jinping. And so there is definitely smoke with showing there's a lot of smoke when you talk about a connection between New Zealand, Māori, and the Communist Party and what's happening in New Zealand. There's definitely stuff there that is powerfully makes you think, hey, you know, something really is going on here.
Yeah. And of course, a lot of people have not really kind of come to that conclusion yet. And of course, it takes years, and I'm speaking from experience, to not think that, but to know that and to be able to, and it takes even more years on top of that to not just know that, but be able to back it up in a conversation. Like, where are the links? Where are the this, that, and the others? Years and years and years. So most people have to basically take the shortcut, which is to have somebody who knows what they're talking about tell them what's going on. And they just basically don't do any fact-checking, no matter who tells them what. But they use this thing inside them, you know, it's called a conscience. Does this sound like the right thing to do? You know?
You know what? I've never been somebody who's a conspiracy theorist. I don't like conspiracy theory, and I think a lot of the conspiracy theorists are just wasting their time, and they waste my time, and they waste everybody's time. But I am somebody who wants to look for clear evidence when people postulate theories about occurrences and events, and who's driving what and what's going on. I want to see the evidence. I want to see concrete evidence that this is actually a fact. This is not just somebody fantasizing about what's going on, but actually what is going on. So when I saw this video, I'll send it to you, Vinny. The video is worth watching because they had pictures and evidence of Kerry Allen actually at these places, attending these seminars on communist ideology. And so I said, this is what we want. If we're gonna make connections, if we're gonna say things, then we have to have evidence. And this video was powerful. I'll send it to you.
Well, that's good. And I think even Jacinda Ardern and the top heads of the Labour Party and things of that nature, all through the socialism are they. And this is not, you know, something that needs to be like, oh, wow, is it something mystical? No, it's pretty obvious. Birds of a feather, what do? They flock together. And it's pretty easy to see that a whole bunch of people who believe in power and control and scumbaggery and a means of getting it by no conscionable methods would come together and hatch their schemes and work as one to destroy their enemies. And their enemies, like it or not, is anybody who believes that if you don't hurt anybody or don't damage anybody's property, then it's your right. Anybody who believes that is the enemy of communists.
Well, I've had my own property in the Bay of Islands of New Zealand taken from me by the government. And they did it in a very, very underhand, devilish way. They sent me a letter out of the blue. I own a piece of land that's worth probably $6 million. It's quite a lot of money in New Zealand. And they sent me a letter earlier last year, which is one of the things that's triggered me into doing a national tour of New Zealand, trying to take the lid off all this. And the letter said, your land has been reclassified as Wahi Tapu sacred Maori land. We now have control of it. You pay the rates. But it's freehold land. And according to some law that was passed in 2014, they're allowed to do this. And I said, how do you prove this is sacred Maori land? And they said, well, some bodies were dragged across your land in 1772. And I said, you need to prove that. They said, no, we don't need to prove that. And suddenly my land is reclassified, so it's one step closer to Maori taking my land. That's what happened. So that triggered me. I'm saying, I still have the land legally. It's still mine legally, but Maori now have control over it. Anything I want to do on that land, I now have to get Maori permission. So effectively, they have halved the value of the land, because who wants to buy land where you have to ask Maori permission? Now, Maori know that, so they'll think I'm just going to bail out at a half price to get a fire sale, and so Maori can just take it over. There's a plan here. That's what the plan is. They're hoping I'll just bail, sell it at half price, a fire sale, they go in and buy it. So that's what they're doing. And then I found out that 500 Otago farmers had just had the same letters delivered to them. So it seems like, and I don't know what is going on all around the country, because it's all being kept quiet by the media. The media doesn't report anything that the government narrative is will contradict the government narrative. So I'm saying that there's lots of land that's being taken illegally by this government right now, and I'm one of them. That's why I got going. It's criminal.
This I'm going to show a picture on the screen for people, if I can get it punched up here. There we go. And I'm going to try and show this for you as well, because this really highlights what we're talking about here. Because not only are we talking about significant changes to land use and things of that nature, but also governance. Now, if we just share our screen here, there we go. Can you see that screen now?
Yep.
Okay. So this is the simulated reserve and corridor system to protect biodiversity as required by UN Convention on Biological Diversity, the Wildlands Project, UN and US Man and Biosphere Programs, and World Heritage Program as a vital step in attaining sustainable development. Now, you see all these red areas here?
Yep.
This is going to be little to no human use. You see all those yellow zones there? Those are going to be the buffer zones, highly regulated use. And you see those little dots, these little black dots, you know, where big cities used to be. Those will be the human settlement zones. That'll be where you're allowed to live. Okay? That's how they're doing it worldwide. This is just the US model. We have a similar map here in New Zealand, I'm sure, but it hasn't been leaked like this one has. This one was leaked many, many years ago, 2004. And so what they're trying to do is essentially shut down land use as a whole for the purposes of sustainable development by hook or by crook. And so that seems to feed into what you were telling me about them taking over your land, taking over all the other farmers' land in Otago and things of that nature, to set up these little to no human use zones and to funnel people into the pack 'em and stack 'em mega cities that they're building right now, with cranes everywhere around Auckland and these little egg crate apartments alongside the new railroad tracks that they're putting up. So
that's
that
right.
Nobody can go anywhere or do anything, and you certainly can't go on the land, because that's a no human use zone. Step by step.
Yeah, well, that map that you've got on there of America, how old is that? Was that 2004?
Yeah. That's how long it's been leaked out for, but they've had it in production since about 92, since the Rio Earth Summit on Prince Charles's private yacht, signed by Jim Bolger himself, our former Prime Minister. Yeah,
unbelievable. Hey, Vinny, I've got another appointment that I have to go to, but I've enjoyed talking on your show, and it's a real privilege to come on your show and to get your views and to dialogue with you, and hopefully we can do it again sometime soon.
Yeah, man. And what is your last final words? There is websites, social media, things of that nature that you need to promote for the tour. Do you have live streams and videos, content and things of that nature?
We have videos on our website. Our website is www.stopcogovernance.kiwi. So we have videos of what I'm saying on my tour on that website, and we are just going to start live streaming my seminars, and we're working on the technology to do that and how to do that. Maybe we could get your advice on that, Vinny. How do we live stream directly from my seminar to all your viewers in America and around New Zealand. Maybe you could give me some advice on that. Anyway, thank you for allowing me to come on your show. It's been amazing.
Thank you so much, brother. And up on screen for the viewers here, we have stopcogovernance.kiwi. So get in there, and you've got a book as well there, Julian.
Yeah, I've written a book on the subject, and you can get that online. So if you scroll down on that website, there's a QR code there that'll show you the book that I've written about what's happening in New Zealand, and that's free. You can read it like a flip book online.
Oh, blimmin' heck. There it is. There it is for everybody online. So if you've got your phones out, you can scan that QR code there. And let me see if that works. Beautiful. All right. Thank you so much, Julian.
Does it work, Vinny?
I'm just trying to get my Wi-Fi on, actually. That's a little bit of a bugger. Here we go. It's loading. It's loading. There we go.
And you got it?
It's loading. Come on, baby. Come on. Please don't go. Come on, baby. You can do it. Oh, she's being a real nasty little wench today, isn't she? Nah, that doesn't seem to go nowhere, brother. It's just going to a black screen.
No, it definitely works because I'll use it on my phone now. Here we go. So I will do it on my screen right now. And yep, it takes you right through to the book.
Man, so they must just be messing with my phone then.
There's mine. There's mine. It's gone straight through.
Ah.
That's what you should be seeing when you scan that QR code.
Yeah.
So it definitely works.
One can only hope. Hopefully it'll work better for you online. Hey, how about those in the chat room? Have you guys tried doing it? Have you seen whether or not it works? Ah, there we go. We got it.
Got it.
Yeah, bro.
I want everybody to read that book, and then they'll get the best handle on what's happening in this little country down in the South Pacific, how a coup is happening, and how New Zealand's being taken over.
Brilliant. And thank you so much again for coming on, Julian. This has been like, I don't know, what's the word? Sensational.
Hey, thanks, Vinny. Thanks for your great show. See you later.
Cheers, brother. Thank you so much. All right, now going to Andy in Texas. You've been holding on there for quite some time, brother.
Well, hey, can you hear me, sir?
Yes, I can indeed. Welcome back.
All right. Hey, thanks for letting me chime in on your show. You know, so if we look at all this stuff that's going on, we got to look at this, the Federal Reserve again. You got to look at the Bowers, the Rothschilds. Give me control of anybody's monetary, any country's monetary system, and I care not who makes the laws. And therein lies where we're sitting at right now. And therein lies, because they fought. Once they got the Federal Reserve, they fought to get rid of the gold standard. In 1933, they got rid of a lot of it. 1971, they finished it off. And after 1971, we got all of these billionaires. You got Bill Gates, who is not, he's a fraud. He's a total fraud. It was IBM and DARPA that gave him his little Windows thing that he found in his garage with Paul Allen. It's all happy horse crap. People need to realize that you're living in a distinguished world. These people have been planning to kill us for several years. And, if you look at it, the vaccines were the first thing. I guess that's just pretty close to the first thing. But really the first thing was the hypnotism of the TV, the radio, getting people to understand and believe that what they were trying to tell you is actually true. And we're still in that world today. Mm. People who watch the TV think that what's going on is actually true.
Yeah, it's like it's sort of like the morphic field. It's the field above physical reality that kind of affects things. And I think because everybody believes things that are completely untrue, I think that it's affected the morphic field itself, and it's made the entire world crazier.
Okay, so expand on the morphic field.
Well, let's say you have a thought, and that thought goes up into the ether or whatever, but then maybe 10 kilometers away and somebody else suddenly thinks that same thought, and they don't know where that thought came from, but it came from you.
Oh, okay.
Right? It's like the psychic field that's around everywhere, and like how blind people can see and deaf people can hear and so on and so forth. That's the plane of material reality that separates us from the Almighty.
Well, what is one of the most wonderful mysteries of the world is, in fact, that we have no clue what we're capable of as human beings, because I think this entire world, since we've been alive, I'm pretty sure you're not more than 60 years old or better. Since we've been alive, these people haven't let us have any kind of interaction with our planet. They've been trying to keep us away from it, using vaccines, using commercial stuff, GMOs, and all this stuff. They're trying to keep us away from the actual nature of life. And so you and me have a very big chore here. We have to figure out how to get back to the nature of life. And once we get there, the message will be very clear of what we're supposed to do. And what's really sad right now is that the message isn't even clear to anybody. I mean, even knowing what we know, we still just want to talk about it and BS about it and stuff, but I'm not hearing anybody talking about, let's get together and have a conversation in a spot where we don't have any high-tech BS with us. Let's just have a conversation. This stuff is not happening. And because that's not happening, that we're all going to end up sitting here in our houses waiting for these people to come get us, and then we're going to defend ourselves when they get here. And we should be defending ourselves now.
Yeah, and that's the thing, is like, what do you do when you're attacked? Well, you defend yourself. Okay, well, what level of attack? You know, if somebody insults you, they call you a moron, do you attack them then? No. Okay, what if they quietly infiltrate your government and tax you without representation? Do you attack them then? Oh, no. You see? They figured out so well.
But wait, yeah. I say yes to that. I say that we are far past the point where we should have attacked our own governments. These people think they own us. These people think that no matter what they say, no matter what they do, we're going to follow their lead. And for the most part, most people will do that. But in the long run, we got at least 30 million people that have woken their butts up. Mm. And 30 million can do something, but getting them together and talking about it and having it happen, that's a whole story.
Yeah, like you've heard of herding cats, you know, try herding truthers.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Seen so many YouTube channels come and go, so many radio stations come and go, so many personalities come and go, because this gig is just killer. Right? Now, they say about 20% of the population is affected by some kind of mental illness. And I think 100% of those people have social media accounts. And when you are on there, especially if you have a show and you're the center of attention in some regard, it's like moths to a flame. Conspiracy theories attract mental illness, paranoia, narcissism, and creepiness, and all of that kind of stuff. There are all shades of unsavory characters in the truth movement, ladies and gentlemen. I will tell you that much. And what's difficult about it is that these are supposed to be your allies, and these are people who would immediately abandon reason at the first chance that they get. That's, I think, very true of the vast majority of people in the so-called truth movement, is that they are all full of desire to have something to hope for. And then there are those who are what you call black-pilled, who have no hope, but they're doing the right thing anyway because they know it's the right thing to do and they don't feel like a choice. You know, it's like begrudging, all right, I'm exposing some scumbaggery today.
Well, I wouldn't say that they have a mental illness. I would say they have a social illness because they're so connected to their social networks, YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. I mean, it's a social disease as opposed to a mental disease. But overall, I think it does boil down to a mental disease because these people are believing happy horse crap that really doesn't mean anything to them. And they have no idea that there's a food shortage coming up. They have no idea that the digital currency is coming up and that their carbon footprint's going to make. None of these people know this. And so we've got, like I said, 30 million people, maybe, that actually know this stuff. And these 30 million people, we haven't found a way to come together and do something about it. So apparently we're all going to sit in our houses and we're going to wait for it to come to us. And that's the way I see it. And it's unfortunate. I actually pictured my life, you know, once I figured out stuff was going wrong, I actually pictured my life being a fighter, you know, saying no to this stuff and actually pulling a gun out and doing what I needed to do. But it looks like we're just going to accept this.
Well, there's levels of acceptance and there's also levels of resistance. Like, for example, level one is you're on the front lines in the battlefield, like picture it's World War II or something. All right, now there's level two. Well, who drove those guys to the battlefield, right? Then there's level three. Who got all the transports and things like that so they could get to the first staging area? Who set up the kitchens? Who set up the showers? Who set up all the cooking and cleaning and so on and so forth so that those people on the front line didn't just die as soon as they got to the staging areas before they even got to combat? Right? There are levels of resistance that each and every one of us can contribute to, and we don't all have to be a frontline soldier. It depends on what your capacity is. You know, a lot of people who have a huge intellectual capacity and things of that nature, they're not really as effective with a gun in their hand. They're more effective with a pen in their hand. Right? And so don't get down on yourself because you're not doing this or you're not as good as that person or blah, 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 blah. Who are you? What can you do? And are you doing it? That's all you really need to ask yourself.
Those are important questions, and I'll tell you what. You know, listening to you, I asked you this before. You've interviewed Max Egan, correct?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and what do you think about him? I really like him.
You got another caller, by the way.
Don't let me influence you.
Well, I mean, I said that Max is a real good guy, but we've only got like a few minutes of airtime, and we've got Darren in Illinois on the phone, Andy. So
you got to get rid of me. All right, I got to go.
Sorry,
all
bro.
Right.
Call back in next show, mate. Darren in Illinois, you're on the air.
Vinny, I just wanted to give you a quick God bless, man. I got a chance to talk to you a couple weeks ago on Jer Bear's show over on Revolution Radio, and I wanted to let you know how much I appreciated that conversation. And I was so thrilled, man, to make your acquaintance.
Well, what was so thrilling about it?
I'm going out. Well, I like the way you think. You got a sharp mind, my friend. It's refreshing in this day and age of dullardism, I guess you might call it, or people who are happily asleep, and you know, it's just refreshing, man, to find a thinking, waked person in my day to day.
That's what I've been described as, refreshing. You know, like cool mountain water with cucumber and lime. Like, just, man, that's refreshing.
You know, it's just we're in a I guess you'd call it a battle for truth, and anybody that's espousing truth is a friend of mine. You know, this is the gist of it.
All right, well, you got the gist.
Take care, Vinny.
Right as the intro music comes in, mate, you have perfect timing, Darren. Thank you so much for your call. Thank you, Andy, as well, and of course my very special guest, Julian Batchelor. Guys, thank you so much for listening to the Vinny Eastwood Show. Go to vinnyeastwood.com and donate today. Become a Patreon. Listen to some of my band's music on YouTube. Vinny and the Vendettas, ladies and gentlemen. Check out holdenhealthcare.com, reopen.nz as well, my wonderful sponsors. Sign the petition to release Vinny and Billy. So thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. We will see you again next time at vinnyeastwood.com, right here on Republic Broadcasting.